Hello.
Hello, how are you doing?
I just thought I would say something.
Good morning, praise the Lord, and shame on the devil. We're going to hopefully have another good time in the book this morning. I'll tell you what, yesterday we had a chance to go to Pedro and Bethany's for a while and celebrate Pedro's birthday. And you never know what's going to happen when you go anywhere. But I had the opportunity to witness to a guy from Puerto Rico. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
He read the Ghostbusters track and liked it. So we'll see what the Lord does with that. The other person was, I would imagine it was Bethany's stepmom. Her name was Tina. And her dad was in the Italian resistance in World War II. That was fascinating. Fascinating story there. And so you never know what type of people you're going to run into. And who's going to be open to the gospel and what stories. If you learn to listen with your ears, there's a lot of things you can hear and learn from other people. Which is interesting because I think one of the first words we learn in our study in verse 14 today is going to be the word hear. Hear. Wherefore hear the word of the Lord. So, I think we're going to try to get down to verse 14 to 19 of Isaiah. And a lot of fun stuff here. I wish I had 2 hours. We're going to try to give you what we can, the good meat of the word, and you'll have to meditate on it and go from there. So let's go ahead and open up with the word of prayer and ask the Lord's choices and blessings on his book. And Doug, if you don't mind opening this up with the word of prayer, that'd be great.
Dear Lord, Father, just thank you for this day, this time. Just thank you for the people that gathered together here to learn the book, the word, the meat of the word. And we don't want to just be hearers, but also doers. And we bless the time and fellowship, and also John for bringing the nuggets to us. And Jesus,
amen.
Amen. Okay, Isaiah 28, verses 14 down to 19. Let's see what we can do there. I'll do the. I guess I'll start with the even verse, and you guys can read the odd verses. Starting with verse 14. Wherefore, hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men, that rule this people which is in Jerusalem. Because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell we are in agreement. With an overflowing spirit shall pass through, shall not come unto us. We have made lies our refuge. And then with falsehoods, we hid ourselves. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste.
And the judgment also I lay to the lion, and righteousness to the plummet. And the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies,
and the water shall overflow the hiding place.
And your covenant with death shall be disannulled. That's a scary part of the verse. And your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing spirit shall pass through, then ye shall be trodden down by it.
From the time that it goeth forth, it shall take you. For morning by morning shall it pass over, by day and by night, and it shall be vexation only to understand the report.
Okay, for these five verses here, We have a very simple outline of which to log in these scriptures here. Verses 14 and 15 has to deal with pride. It deals with the rulers of Jerusalem, and it uses the word that they're scornful. So we'll take a look at the word scornful, and we'll see how it connects with other parts of Scripture to give us a broader understanding. And I discovered a nugget that's connected with the crucifixion of Christ. So 14 and 15 has to deal with pride. And what God does with pride is revealed in verse 16. God humbles himself. And there's so many neat scriptures of God humbling himself. And so verse 16 has to deal with humility, where Christ humbled himself before the cross. He is the tried and the true cornerstone. And of course, for our context here, this is the Word of God. And then 17, 18, and 19 is the judgment of the Lord. And no one escapes the judgment of the Lord. If we run to the chief cornerstone, the Lord Jesus Christ, he took the judgment for us. All others will face the other judgment, and it's not fun what they go through, and it's eternal. So that's the quick outline: pride, humility, and then judgment. Let's take a look at first one, the first part. Wherefore hear the word of the Lord. Now, why do we need to hear the word of the Lord? And he's talking to first of all, in context, he's talking to the rulers of Jerusalem. He's talking to the rulers of Jerusalem. And guys, when we take a deeper look at this text, this is the same group that's running Jerusalem at the time that Christ is around. It is the same group running around when it fell in 70 AD. It is the same group running around now. It is the same group running around in Columbus, Ohio. It's the same group running in Worthington right now. When we study the book, guys, we don't have to have blinders on and say, well, this is just this one part here. When you study it, God will expand your thinking and expand your eyesight and show you where you're living at today in this world. And it'll make you understand how important it is to follow the Lord Jesus Christ and how important it is to be ready with the gospel, to be able to share that with people. That is what makes the difference. Wherefore, hear the word of the Lord. First and foremost, why should we hear the word of the Lord? And we can almost all quote this one out of Romans 10:17. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So why should they hear? God is telling the men in Jerusalem, you need to hear the word of God. And these guys don't want to hear the word of God. They've already stoned all the prophets they can find. They've already killed as many as they can find. They are scornful men. They do not want to hear. The only way to get faith, guys, is by hearing the word of God. The other thing that we need to take notice is Psalm 94:9. 94:9. And this is always a good one to keep in mind. Let's see. Okay. 94:9. He that planted the ear. So already you're getting into creation. God planted on every person two ears. He that planted the ears, shall he not hear? Our ears shall always be a reminder to us that God is going to hear our prayers, especially for us here at BBF Ohio. Whatever your greatest need is, you pray to him. He has ears, and he will listen. You have a voice. He will hear that voice, for that voice cries out for help from the Lord. There's no reason for any single one of us to go shipwrecked. Our ears is a reminder that God will hear our prayers. Going back to our text here. 1 Peter 3:12, another reason for hearing. 1 Peter 3:12. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. We already have the context here that the face of the Lord is against the men of Jerusalem. They refuse to hear the word of God. They refuse to change. And then one last verse is in 2 Kings chapter 17. 2 Kings 17. Verse 14. Notwithstanding, they would not hear, but hardened their necks, like to the neck of their fathers. They did not believe in the Lord their God. Now, you guys, without faith, you can't believe on the Lord. Amen. You've got to have the book to believe on the Lord. These guys in Jerusalem did not want to hear the word of God, which means they did not want to believe on the Lord, because when you have to believe on the Lord, that means there has to be a change of heart. There has to be a change of direction. And these guys refused. Let's take a look again at our verse here. Wherefore hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men. Psalm 44:13. Let's take a look at Psalm 44:13. Psalm 44:13. Thou, talking about the Lord, thou makest us a reproach to our neighbors, a scorn and a derision to them that are round about us. Now, why would God do such a thing like that? It's because the people of Israel refused to hear the word of God. They refused, and God brought judgment on them. And their enemy said, look here, we conquered them. These guys are puny, they're nothing. They have no God, their God are idols. They became a reproach. They were scorned. They were derided. And that is going to be one of the saddest things, guys, when the United States of America falls to its enemies. Not if, but when it falls. Because they're going to say, well, they didn't have any true God here. They worshipped idols. They were easy to knock over. Guys, if our country had a true, genuine faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, not a single person would be able to touch us. We would be unstoppable. Johnny.
In fact, I just make the case that, in general, that has been true for the past couple centuries.
Yes.
And that's why I guess they've changed their tactics to attack us from within.
True.
Because we were unstoppable. And it's because we served the Lord.
Yeah. Well, keep this in mind. While you was working at McDonald's, somebody slept a phony bill. What was it, 20? 10?
I've seen 20s and 10s, actually.
20s and 10s. Now, you know what? That's called infiltration into McDonald's. Well, you know what? You caught it. What is wrong with America here? We're not catching the infiltration. We're not catching it. It makes me sad, out of the four churches that I've been members of in Columbus, Ohio, it makes me sad that all four were King James. Two of them are not even around anymore. One of them is ESV, and the other one is wishy-washy. Infiltrated, guys. Infiltrated. Two of them gone. Why? And then the one that went ESV, and those people were trained better. They were trained to question the pulpit. And what happened? Nothing. No question whatsoever. Or who knows what the next book is they're going to believe, and the one after that. Once you fall into apostasy, very rarely do you pull yourself out of it. I only know of a couple instances where a few churches pulled themselves out. And why? Because they started reading the book for themselves and not getting someone else's commentary. Guys, get in the book. Doug.
Yeah, when I worked for these stonemasons right before I started with the government, they would literally have the cornerstone, and the cornerstone was the cornerstone where it would set the course, the next course, and us laborers would be there striking the where you put the mortar in about a quarter of an inch back to strengthen the wall, and each time you struck the stone. The stone, of course, was never straight down. It was always off so that it wouldn't crumble the whole wall. It just damaged the one part of it. And the infiltration, it wouldn't penetrate the wall. And it's very important to be doing that. And unfortunately, the United States has businesses, has people from other countries on both sides of the wall. So what does that tell us? Eventually it's going to fall.
Yeah, if you just read Isaiah chapter 1 and Romans chapter 1, you're up to date on the news in America.
Right, yeah.
Those two chapters, right? Just those two chapters, you're up to date what's going on around.
Right.
And how powerful is the Word of God? Yeah. It has to be heard, and then it has to be believed. Hearing is one thing. You know the parable of the building on the rock and building on the sand.
Right.
Both groups heard. One believed and one didn't. And that's the major difference of the whole lesson.
You know, a lot of times, in looking back on history, we see it, and we can see it in individual lives as well. The not hearing the word of the Lord and turning into a scornful man didn't start out that way. And a lot of people, you know, are very busy. And so they get to where they say, well, I just don't have time. And in previous generations, that wasn't a problem. You didn't commute. You know, you didn't spend 2 hours just driving.
Correct.
And then 8 to 12 hours at work. And then you come home, you've got all the stuff going on with the kids and school and all that. Before the last 100 years or so, that wasn't even a problem. And so it's a modern problem, time. But God's provided an answer for that. And people have either talked themselves out of it or talked others out of it. But literally, hearing the word. And they think if they can't sit down and read their Bible with their eyeballs, that they can't hear the word of the Lord. You can get it free online.
Absolutely.
They're free.
Mm-hmm.
If you want, you can spend what most people have the money to spend on, an MP3, but we offer it free here for everybody here. Mm-hmm. And you can listen to it on your commute. And people say, well, that's not really reading. And I say, first of all, every blind person who ever lived, that's how they read the Bible.
Oh, absolutely.
Very few learn Braille. But, again, before this last 100 years, the mass majority of people were illiterate.
Mm-hmm.
So the only time they ever got the Word of God was hearing it read out of them.
Yeah.
And people used to go to church on days, including Sundays and Wednesdays, to go other days, and they would have the Bible read during that time. And a lot of people never even owned a Bible. They could only get it when they go to church and hear it read to them. So the idea that listening to the Bible is not really reading the Bible is a false idea. But I'm telling you, I've seen it.
Absolutely.
People who won't. They don't have time to sit down with their Bible, but they won't take the time or put forth the effort to listen to the Word and hear the Word of the Lord, and then so they get nothing. And that's just going to spiral downward until you become one of these guys, a scornful man.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And if you don't get, some people aren't good listeners, listen to it 2 or 3 times. Listen to one chapter, it takes 2 or 3 minutes sometimes, 5 minutes at most. Just listen to that same chapter two or three times till you get it.
What I also do, I'll have the audiobook playing, and then often I'll have the text right in front of me. So I'm reading as they read it.
Yeah.
And like hear and read.
The whole Bible on DVD is you can read and listen to at the same time for less than $10 on Christian Book. We offer here free.
Oh, amen. Well, let's take a look at Esther, chapter 3, verse 6. Esther 3, 6. We have someone who can get that for us. Esther 3, 6. This will show you the heart of the scornful. Okay, Jenny.
I can do it.
Go ahead.
Give me a sec to get to Esther.
Brian already has it.
Oh. Okay, fine. Brian can do Esther.
All right, Brian.
Yeah.
Again, this is just another part of the scriptures with the word scorn in it. You can do lots of Bible studies just with one word.
And he thought scorn to lay hands on Mordecai alone, for they had showed him the people of Mordecai. Wherefore Haman sought to destroy all the Jews that were throughout the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus, even the people of Mordecai.
How about that? Notice Haman here. Haman had scorn for Mordecai. And what did he want to do? Kill him. And then he found out he is a Jew, and now he wants to kill all the Jews. And now you have the entire book of Esther. Fascinating. But that's what you deal with when you come across the word scorn. It means to laugh, to scorn, to deride somebody. It means to make a mock of. And like Galatians 6, verses 7 and 9, it says, God is not mocked. How many people scorn the Lord? The Lord said, you can't scorn me. I'm in charge of scorning. You can't do that. We also have to despise others. In Luke chapter 18, verses 9 to 14, we have the guys who's praying in the temple. And you know what? They were self-righteous because of works. You know, I tithe and I do this. I give to the Boy Scouts. I give to the Girl Scouts. I do this. I do that. I even fast and I tithe. And it says what? And he despised others. Despised others. That's scorning them. Why? Because I'm better than anyone else. And the Lord says, I didn't even hear that prayer. Ears, remember? Mm-hmm. God didn't even hear that prayer. Because it wasn't according to what was being right. This guy was, and if you notice the context of that when you read it, who's the guy praying to? He's praying to himself.
Yeah.
He's not praying to the Lord. He's praying to himself. Jennifer.
Commonplace it's used. Hell hath no fury, like a woman scorned. If we know what a woman, you know, so we can.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, what is that woman scorned? Okay. So, you know, whatever they did to get her upset.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it opens up. See, once you understand the word scorn, it just opens up all sorts of scriptures. Psalm 119:1 has the word scorn in it. I think it's that one, or maybe it was Psalm 1:1. But then, anyway, though, you run the references for the word scorn, and it opens up all sorts of places all over Scripture, and it gives you the understanding of the rulers of Jerusalem. It'll give you the understanding of the rulers of Columbus and Worthington, the state of Ohio, right down to the White House. In fact, Biden, forgive me, but had a speech scorning a certain group of people. That just doesn't make sense to do that, guys. This is our country. We're supposed to be working together, not dividing in half and then killing the other half. There's something wrong, Johnny.
Hey, can I just make an interesting observation that the phrase Jenny just mentioned there, you suppose that could be part of the world lessening hell by having jokes like that all the time?
It's hyperbole. I mean, you know,
yeah, it's just
like Joe Biden saying that the what does he say about the economy being bad as it, worse than hell, something like that. And people got on him about that. It's really just hyperbole. And something smells like hell. You hear people say that. Well, you know, it must smell like sulfur. Sulfur brimstone. But, you know, it's, I don't recommend using the word like that, but when it is used, not the way she used it, that's pretty standard. But it's hyperbole.
You never use the word Hades, interesting word.
Yeah, the Bible's called Hades.
Hades has no fury.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always thought that was an island.
One of my favorite Proverbs by Spurgeon. An ape is an ape, though dressed in a cape. You can change the word hell and make it Grater's ice cream.
But it's not.
I'm sorry.
Grater's used to always say they're trying to air condition hell.
Yeah. And that's mainly because that's where they're headed.
Yeah.
That's where they're headed. Let's take a look at Isaiah 29, verses 20 and 21. And you guys will understand how this fits in our culture big time. So how in the world, here it is in the book of Isaiah, still dealing with the rulers, you know, the people of Jerusalem and Judah and everything. Let's take a look at verse 20 here. For the terrible one is brought to naught, and the scorner is consumed, and all that watch for iniquity are cut off. That make a man an offender for a word.
Yes.
And lay a snare for him that reproveth in the gate, and turn aside the just for a thing of naught.
How big
is that in today's culture, guys?
Amen.
That's today's world. That's what that is.
Welcome
to
the show.
Yeah.
What?
Well, hi, Michael. I'm not Michael. I'm Michelle.
Michelle.
I'm going to sue you now.
Absolutely. When I saw that, and it had the word scorn, deriding, putting down. Yeah, that describes their culture. I'll let you meditate on that, but the word of God covers everything. And just so you know, we've been picking on the rulers of Jerusalem. Let's take a look at I got these notes up and down everywhere. All right, here we go. Ezekiel 22. Let's take a look at Ezekiel 22. And verses 23 to 31. Ezekiel 22. Verses 23 to 31. And we've been picking on the rulers. But guys, we need to understand the corruption. If we cleared up all the corruption out of the rulers of Worthington and the rulers of Columbus, would that take care of our city?
No.
Sorry. Legally, that's all legal. It has to be in the heart. Take a look at the classes of people here, starting with verse 23. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto her, Thou art the land that is not cleansed, nor rained upon in the day of indignation. There is a conspiracy of her prophets. Did you get that? There's a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion ravening to prey. They have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Her priests have violated my law and have profaned mine holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and profane. Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean. And have had their eyes for my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. Her princesses in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening to prey, to shed blood, and to destroy souls, to get dishonest gain, and her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, Thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord hath not spoken. The people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery and have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. And I sought for a man among them that should make up a hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. I am hoping here in America God is still finding some who are willing to stand in the gap. I hope so. I am willing to stand in the gap. Therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God.
I think that just explains God's patience with the United States of America. There still is a remnant of Bible believers.
Yes, there are. And that's why we haven't seen the enemy yet. I like Abraham when he got down to 10. Based on my study, he said he at least got down to 8. Okay. But at any rate, though, there's still a remnant. That's why we need to continue to pray one for another and to help each other out and continue to share the love of Christ with one another. Because as we share the love of Christ one with another, that gives us the strength and the courage to share the love of Christ with the strangers around us.
I'll tell you why I know that there's a remnant still in America is because I hear from them on a regular basis.
Amen.
Saying, hey, I lived in such and such town. Do you know of a decent church anywhere near me? Because they've been visiting and visiting and attending.
Oh, absolutely.
Can't find a good church. So it's sad, but it's good to hear from them to know they're out there.
Oh, amen. Amen. I praise the Lord for the ministries that God gives us, little church. I really do. It's we have really, literally, the ministries from this little church has covered every continent on this planet.
160 nations.
Yeah. Just from this little place, guys, and some of the other churches we've influenced that are now reaching further. We don't know which ones those are really, but we've influenced other churches to do the same thing. So there is hope, and there is help in the Lord. And let's remain faithful. Verse 15, just a couple of comments, because I really want to get into this next verse. Verse 15, because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we in agreement. And it says, when the overflowing spirit shall pass through, it shall not come unto us, for we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. And guys, when you study the different religions, the Buddhists think they're going to be reincarnated. They have made their own covenant with hell, and it is not going to stand. Jehovah Witness with the doctrine of annihilation, that's not going to stand. Okay? The other group that has purgatory in it is not going to stand. It cannot stand. All these things these people come up with that think they're not going to be harmed, because they give money in the offering plate, or because they attend church twice a year, you know, or because they do good works. They keep, the one group, oh yeah, we cast out devils in God's name. Well, why? Didn't even know you guys. Didn't even know you. Guys, it's faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is the only thing it can be. But that's what these guys are counting on. The rulers of Jerusalem here have probably made agreements with the Assyrians or with the Babylons or whatever group is going to come in next. They make agreements with them. I can tell you right now, I don't know what groups here, what corporations in America have made agreements with the New World Order. The moment the New World Order takes over the United States, those corporations go bye-bye. Every one of them. Every one of them. Especially the news people, the news reporters and all those groups. They're going to be the first ones they kill. Study past wars that's gone on and see who they knock off the most.
I think this time, though, not to be disagreeable, but I think this time is going to be more of a unification than it is a purging. Because the way the take for granted, I think you believe like I do that the next one is the Antichrist.
Yes.
And I think it's going to be more of a unification than a purging, because they're going to serve the Antichrist, take the mark, you know, and do all that. That's why I don't think there'll be as many killings of the useful idiots as what Lenin called them. But I think there'll be most of the killing will be those who don't take the mark. You see what I'm saying? According to what we read in the scripture, it looks like that's the case. Not really disagreeing with your overall point, but I think the next time they're going to think they're okay because they're not going to be killing them off like the communists did in the other countries with pure communism.
Yeah.
And this is more of a fascist, not the way the news media uses the word, but, you know, Mussolini, fascism was corporatism. You brought the corporations and the government together. And that's what I think the Antichrist system is going to put
those. Yeah. Well, I've read quite a few books by Richard Wurmbrand and Romania's takeover of the communists.
But that was more as a pure communism versus what we're seeing now, which is more of a fascism.
Yeah. But he said in the book there, everyone that helped take over, within 5 years they were either dead or in prison.
Yeah.
And so it'll be selective.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That was pure communism. But what we're seeing now is a corporatism.
Yeah.
Like in China, it isn't like Russia, the communist.
Correct.
In China, it's a corporatism. It's actually more like Italian Mussolini fascism.
Yeah.
It's a corporate, like you said, but it's also where they're going to get rid of the dollar, you know. The whole thing.
Yeah.
Part of that blockchain thing and all that.
Okay. We're down to 2 minutes, by the way.
Let's get to verse 16. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation, and he that believeth shall not make haste. Several observations we want to make on here. If you've grown up hearing most of the sermons, like I've heard, Jesus is always referred to as the rock. But here he's referred to as a stone. As a stone. And in 1 Peter 2:4, he's called the living stone. Alright? Notice the verse here, it says, I laid Zion for a foundation. For a foundation. And we've already talked about that in 1 Corinthians 3. Christ is the foundation, and no man can lay under the foundation but him. But notice the same word at the end of the chapter here. A sure foundation. There's a transition that goes between the word foundation and a sure foundation. All right? In 1 Peter 1:7, he's called a tried stone. Here, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone. Then it says a tried stone. What happens? When you get faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's going to come under trial. You're going to go through a trial. Whatever faith that God gives to you, goes through a trial. You can study Abraham in chapter 22 of Genesis and go all the way through scripture. Look where the faith was tried. It's now a tried stone. Then it becomes a precious cornerstone. After you've gone through the trial, the Lord Jesus Christ is now precious to you. You're hanging on to him. He's like a jewel that you don't want to let go of. And then it's called a sure foundation. And then we have the promise, he that believeth shall not make haste. The word haste means to run away from. When your faith in Christ has been tried and it comes out with all the glitter and gold of him, you're not going to run away and go to anywhere else. That's the source you're going to go with. In the New Testament, they changed it just a little bit. 1 Peter 2:6, he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. The word confounded means to be confused. When your faith has gone through the trial and you come out on top, you're not going to be confused. You're not going to be living in doubt. You're not going to be living in fear. You're going to be living in the faith that God has given to you that was tried in the fire and it came out correct. And that's what the Lord is telling the rulers here. Hear my word. Get in my word. So when the bad times come, here comes the trial. You're going to make it. And so now we come to verses 17, 18, and 19. And the Lord is now bringing in the judgment. Here comes the judgment. Here comes the Assyrians. Here comes the Babylonians. Later on, here comes the Romans. And what happened? They made an agreement. And God says that agreement's not going to stand. Look at the time of Noah with the flood. What was the plummet in the time of Noah? The ark.
I'm going to pick up there next week.
Yeah, if you didn't get on the ark, you were wiped out. You were wiped out.
We went in depth on the stone September 18th, study yes. 331.
Yep, excellent. Excellent study. But make sure your stone is the tried stone, the precious cornerstone. Amen. All right, well, let's have a word of prayer. And Brian, if you don't mind closing out here, buddy.
Heavenly Father, thank you for this time today. Morning your word, every word that you have. The book, Lord, is precious to us. You are the stone, you are the true foundation, you are the only one that matters, you are the only one that can save us through your shed blood. It's in your name we praise you and thank you and praise you forever. Amen.
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 Amen. All right, onliners. A little bit. Go get your tea.